definitely been a privilege to be here, and definitely been worth driving all the way from Wisconsin just for today. It's been great. Thank you all for welcoming us and for putting up with us or putting us up and having us for the day. You all were here this morning, or most of you are at least, and I shared my testimony. But briefly, I'm going to share my parents' testimony. I did this in Sunday school as well, but for those of you who weren't there, my parents grew up in North Central Iowa, and they both went and grew up in churches that did not preach how they could know for sure that they were on their way to heaven. They didn't preach the gospel there. And when they met in high school, they both had the interest to go overseas, to go somewhere. And when they got married, they started farming in Iowa, and an opportunity came up for them to go to Cameroon, Africa for 3 years to teach farmers how to raise livestock. And they went to Cameroon, and when they first got there, they met a missionary pilot. My dad was a pilot, so he got to know this missionary pilot to see if he could fly his airplane while he was there. And through that, got involved in joined a Bible study with the missionary. And that first year they were in Cameroon, both my parents trusted in Christ as their Savior, and they were both saved in Cameroon. They came back after 3 years back to the farm, planned to live the rest of their lives there, but God had different plans and called them back as missionaries to Cameroon to go over there, preach the gospel, start churches, not just raise livestock. And that's where I was born, there in Cameroon, and was saved when I was age 11. And I have a video here that gives an overview of the ministry in Cameroon, the vision that God has given to us. So we can go ahead and show that now, and then I'll come back up to afterward and continue speaking, explaining about the ministry. My name is Daniel Needham, and I am a missionary evangelist called to the countries of West Africa, initially starting in the country of Cameroon. I was born there in Cameroon in 1992. My parents have been missionaries there since 91. I was saved at age 11, and through my teenage years, God has called me back. God has burdened us to reach the Fulani people for Christ. The Fulani people it's a Muslim tribe, and they are spread across all of West Africa. Really from Cameroon, on the easternmost point, all the way over to Liberia on the western coast of Africa.
I grew up in a Christian home with very godly parents. I heard the gospel many times, but not until I was six. That was when I realized I needed to personally trust Jesus to save me. And so at a children's meeting, I made that decision to put my faith in Jesus alone to save me. And I'm so glad I did.
Just being able to spend time involved in church planting, seeing people saved, seeing people baptized, has just given me a greater vision to see the country reached.
There is certainly a need for laborers in the harvest field of West Africa. There's such a vast amount of people out there that obviously churches need to be planted in that area of the world.
We often, as a group of missionaries over there, state this as our theme: the gospel for every person. A church for every village, and then eventually a pastor for every church. Reaching all of West Africa seems like a huge task, and yes, it is. I believe God can do it, I believe He will, and the way He's going to do it is through, first of all, believers obeying and going to preach the gospel. Jesus says that all power is given unto Him. Therefore, go, teach, baptize. That is a pattern of discipleship. The only way the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled in Cameroon, in West Africa, is through multiplication. Teaching,
new believers to immediately go out and preach the gospel to those who aren't saved. And this multiplication does not just stop at the individual level. My goal is to plant churches and train those churches to plant new churches immediately. And when churches start to multiply, when churches begin to obey the Great Commission in the power of the Holy Spirit, just as the Apostle Paul did in his followers, his disciples, that's when God works, and that's when the Great Commission can be fulfilled. A few years ago, I was flying over the Adamawa province of Cameroon. And this region is predominantly Muslim, and specifically the Fulani people. All across West Africa, I believe there's around 37 million Fulani people. In the country of Cameroon alone, between 2 and 3 million of them. And in the country of Cameroon, I know for a fact, there is no fundamental Baptist group or missionary working with the Fulani people, predominantly.
In general, I'm burdened to reach the unreached. The Lord put that on my heart actually when I was in Cameroon. But when it comes to the Fulani specifically, as I learned more about them, about their bondage to false religion, their bondage to just the tradition of man, and just how few laborers there are in that area of the world, I realized that what better thing to do than to go and see churches started and people reached in that area of the world.
I knew that nobody had ever gone to those places before to preach the gospel. They never have heard the name of Jesus. I'll just cry out to the Lord, Lord, send me somewhere where they have never heard of Christ. That's my heart. Someone needs to go. Someone needs to reach these people. I am burdened for that group of people. Sometimes we ask, is God going to send these people to hell that never heard? That's not the right question to ask. The question to ask is, why haven't we told them? Why haven't they heard? The reason is because we haven't told them. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell them. Being out there preaching the gospel to them and seeing their desire for the Word of God, seeing their hopelessness, their fear of the past, no hope for the present, no hope for their future. Having grown up in Cameroon and seeing even other African countries there, the unreached people groups, traveling, flying over them with my dad's airplane, just seeing the villages that no one has ever been to before. There's been times just to cry out to the Lord, Lord, who's going to reach these people? And I know that no one's ever been there. And they're just in their religions of animism, their fear of their ancestors.
For me, the Fulani, because as I follow God's will, He has clearly led me to Daniel Needham. And as His wife, I can't think of anything better than to reach these people that God has laid on His heart and then on my heart. And together, we get to reach them.
And God's given me that burden to tell them the truth of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to spend my life doing it.
So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest. And hope He'll smile. The harvest was of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us muscles to win. Oh, then to say some few ones from the burning. Today we'll go and reach some sinners'
soul. In 2015, I was over in Cameron for the summer, and the goal of that trip I first went over to help prepare for a missions team that was coming from our home church, Falls Baptist, and that the team from Falls Baptist was a team of 31 people coming over to join up with 70 national believers and pastors to split up into 10 different church planting teams to go to 10 different villages for 1 week, preach the gospel, see people saved, baptize disciples, plant a church, then go to the next village the next week and do the same thing in 10 more villages. And I first heard that was the plan for the summer, and I thought, wow, we can't do that. We can't plant 20 churches in 2 weeks. But as we went forward with the plans, Pastor Felix, who I told you about this morning, he's the missionary. He's the national missionary that my dad led to the Lord. Now he's a missionary to another part of the country. We asked him, is this really what we should be doing? If we really plan to start 20 churches? He said, yes, this is what God wants us to do. We need to go forward. And he really was the person behind this entire church planting outreach, this national man my dad led someone to the Lord who led this person to the Lord. So a second generation Christian there was heading up this entire church planting outreach on the national side. So I got over there to help prepare for the time, and they asked me to be one of the leaders of a church planting team. I thought, well, I can't do this. I was supposed to be underneath one of the national pastors, learning from him. So I prayed about it for a while, and I told them yes, I'd be a leader. And so when the team arrived to Cameroon, my dad dropped us off out in one of the remote airstrips, and he went back to pick up a couple more people who were going to come join me on my team. And as I was standing there waiting for my dad to come back, a young man walks up to me. His name was Godfred, and he told me that he was on my team. I never met him before, didn't know who he was. Found out he was from the church in that village where the airstrip is. So I asked him another question. I asked him if he had ever witnessed to anybody before. He said, no, he hadn't. So I figured, well, if you're going to be on my church planning team, he's going to have to know how to witness. So I sat him down as I was waiting for the others to arrive and used this gospel chart right here to train him how to give the gospel. And then the rest of the team arrived, and we hiked for a day and a half out into the jungles and reached our first village. And Godfred, that young man, he was extremely helpful on our team. I was a really strong young man, helped carry bags and things. But he was really shy about opening his mouth to witness. It comes to the end of the week. Actually, let me back up a little bit. Throughout that week, there was one man, I can't remember his name, but I witnessed to him, and he would not get saved. Every single time I witnessed to him, and people on my team witnessed to him, he would say, well, my goodness is saving me. I said, a while back, I was a bad person, but then I changed my life, and now I'm a good person, so my goodness is going to get me to heaven. What I've done is going to save me. And of course, we understand from the Bible, nothing that we can do can save us. So I'd tell him this from the Bible and show him verses over and over again throughout the week. He never got saved. Comes to Saturday evening, I'm doing a final discipleship lesson with four young men who had gotten saved that week. We're preparing for baptism. Godfred was there in the group, and this man who hadn't gotten saved yet. So I went through, asked each of them their salvation testimony, and it comes to the man who's not saved. I ask him for a salvation testimony, and sure enough, it comes up, he's trusting in his good works to save him. And I was about to open my mouth to witness to him again, and guess what happens? Godfred who hadn't witnessed to anybody that whole week, jumps in and literally begins to preach at this man, saying it's not by your good works, it's by faith in Jesus Christ alone that can save you. And as he was speaking, I think every single one of these four young men who had been saved that week also began to witness to this man, just going after him, saying it's not by your good works, it's by faith in Jesus alone that can save you. And he didn't get saved that night, but it was so exciting for me to see these young men who I had trained and who I had led to the Lord, were discipling, reaching their own people. That was so exciting to see. On the video, you saw this gospel chart, and we have a pretty large one. I think it's about 5 feet by 4 feet, maybe. And what it is, I was talking to some of you this morning about it. Basically, it's a tool that we can use to give the gospel in both in pictures and in verses. And then under here, you have pictures of Bible stories that we can that illustrate the truth of the gospel. So you see at the beginning, it's hard to see from some of you on the back, but on the first picture, it shows Adam and Eve and their perfect relationship with the Lord, and they are worshiping God there because they were created perfectly. But then you jump to the second picture, and you see this line between people and God because man has sinned, they've broken God's law. And now there's a separation between man and God. So there's this tool that we use. And every little detail in this picture has a meaning, which is really neat. So even the people have a little crown on their head, showing that they've made themselves the king of their own life. And then you have, of course, it illustrates death. And then red, it illustrates hell. And that's what we deserve because of the hell. And then Jesus came, and he has a perfect relationship with God. And he died, took man's separation on himself, and then rose up on heaven in victory over sin, death, and hell. At the end, it shows a decision. It's a decision that we have to make, whether to trust in Jesus as our Savior or to follow our own way, which results in death, which results in judgment and hell for all eternity. And it goes, of course, and you have the verses. And then on the back, it has training material. So we can give it to somebody, and they can read the training so they can be trained how to use it as well. And the Lord has used this tool to see many people come to the Lord. And if someone gets saved, we give this to them so that they can take it and reach their family. And even if they cannot read, they can take the pictures and witness to their family. And really, God has used that to see many people come to the Lord there in the ministry there in Cameroon. Am I missing anything on that, Rachel? Okay. After we finished that church planting outreach, I told you some other stories of that this morning. We finished, we went back to my parents' house, and I came back to the States, and God burdened me for to go somewhere where they didn't have a church background. Out in these villages where we were planting churches, they had different religions. I think there was a Catholic church in some of the places. There was other churches that really had some false doctrine, not the true gospel, and we had to combat and teach against a lot of the false doctrines that had come into these villages. And God gave me a burden to go somewhere where they didn't have that false teaching from the Bible. And I grew up, the Fulani people that we've heard about all day today, a Muslim tribe, most of them have never had any teaching from any sort of Christian religion. So I began to get burdened for this tribe, this people group, began to pray that God would send missionaries to them. And I hadn't been willing to go to them because I knew the hardships. I grew up around a lot of them. I knew the strongholds and what would face if I was to be a missionary to them. So I began to pray that God would send somebody to them as missionaries. And of course, when God gives you a burden and you start praying for something, it's often God sends you. And that's exactly what he did for me. And I surrendered to that back in end of 2015, and began to pray for this people, and God made it clear he wants me to go, and Rachel as well, of course, and she's my wife. And she was there, and she told you her testimony this morning, how she's loving, how she can't wait to get back and to see these people reached. The Fulani people, I gave a brief overview of them this morning. 37 million, that's a lot of people, isn't it? And as far as I know, there's no churches there reaching them. Could be something I haven't heard about. I don't know. There was a missionary in Nigeria just to the west of Cameroon that he has seen. I don't think him personally, but he knows of 9 Fulani families that have come to Christ. I think one of them got saved, and then that family reached these other families. And that has been a small movement there in Nigeria. And then there was a missionary in Ghana, actually a national missionary, who I heard about a year ago. He was trying to have a ministry with, I think, 9 of the Fulani men. I haven't heard how that's gone at all. But other than that, I really haven't heard of anybody reaching out to the Fulani people. So it really is a pioneer work. And we'd love to have people join us. We can't do it by ourselves. And if you'd be praying for that we would have someone to come join us in the ministry over there to reach these people that are in need of the gospel. Our plan going forward is we are leaving June 16th, next month, to go to the town where my parents are. We have a home there that's ready for us to move into, and they'll be renting it for, I think it's like a 5-bedroom house, renting for like $100 a month. And it's pretty nice. It's a pretty nice house for over there. That's where we're going to be for the first year. That's a huge blessing, because the future we may not know. I don't know what kind of house we'll be living. Probably a mud hut. Maybe, possibly. I don't know. That first year is what do you call it? We're going to be there first year, making survey trips to this new part of the country called the Adamawa province or region. This is where the Fulani are more heavily populated. We're traveling a lot of survey trips up there, looking for where the open doors are, looking for persons of peace that would welcome us in and would want us to stay and start churches. So that's our goal for the first year, in addition to learning the language. Okay, does anybody have any questions? I'm sure I missed something. Yes, Pastor.
Other groups that are going around to these people, some of the other religions, cults that are trying to get into Cameroon and specifically the Fulani people?
Mm-hmm. Not that I know of. There's all kinds of religions in Cameroon, but as far as I know, they're not specifically reaching the Fulani. Mm-hmm. The Muslims are basically left to their own. They're considered unreachable, apparently, which is a great opportunity for us. I'm sure that's happening. I just haven't heard of it. My parents, who've traveled around the country more than I have never seen that as far as reaching the Muslims. Mm-hmm. I had a hand back here. It's a very good question. Bibles for the Fulani, they have the books of John and Romans in the language, and that's it. Well, they actually do have a full Bible, but it was done, the translation was done, wrong philosophy, wrong text, and it really was done poorly, so we can't use that translation. So my sister has translated John and Romans, and that's what we have on our back table. That's all they have as a good translation into their language. So yeah, it's a prayer request. My sister is, Lord willing, going to be working on that going forward in the future, continuing to translate. That's a key thing that we need. Yes, sir.
You mentioned this morning about starting a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
What is the availability of radios in that area that they're going to receive your message?
Mm-hmm. Basically, anywhere you go, everyone has a radio. Mm-hmm. And if there's a place where there's no radio station and where they may not have a radio, if they find out there is a radio station, they will find a way to get a radio. Kind of the same with cell phones. There's areas that don't have any cell phone reception, but people will still have phones because they might be able to, whenever they travel outside the area, they can go get cell phone reception or climb up on top of a mountain and get a cell phone reception. Plus, a lot of the cell phones actually have FM radios built into the cell phone. But yeah, so radio is going to be a huge thing because it'll go everywhere. And people love to listen. There's I can't remember what year it was. It was one of the presidential elections here in the States. I was out in one of these villages, didn't have any cell phone reception at all. It was the middle of nowhere. I got up, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, I hear a radio playing, announcing who was the new president in the United States. So I found out, I'm sure, before you all did, since we're 6 hours ahead. Yes. Kind of in between, I would say. They're not the radical, like I was mentioning this morning, they're not out to do the jihad and all that. But they are very religious in their praying five times a day, the going to the pilgrimage to Mecca if they're able to, the feast of Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan every year. So in that way, yeah, they're very religious and they're very, very devout. But they would not hold to the killing. Yes. The best hospital in the country is about 45 minutes from my parents. It's a mission hospital, and they actually do a really good job. Wouldn't be probably an American level, but they do have American doctors coming in all the time. There's several American doctors that are resident there, and they have doctors from all over Africa coming there. So pretty good. Yes.
Right now, when you get, you're going to be with your parents for a year, mm-hmm. and make any survey trips, and then we're really going into these people.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, you don't know anybody else that would accompany you to in there, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. There's a young couple who's over there now who, they just went over there about 6 months ago. They're not reaching the Fulani. They're more the non-Muslim people. But since they've been there, they've gotten somewhat of a burden for the Fulani. So possibly they may switch to coming with us. I don't know. But that has been kind of a shift of burden on them. But that's the only prospect I have right now. Any other questions? Okay, if not, turn if you would to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 25. This is just this, I have several verses we're going to go to. But just starting out here, we're going to be speaking on prayer tonight. Our pastor started out in the introduction with prayer. Now God answers prayer, and God is powerful. He's almighty, and he loves to answer prayer, and he loves to see his people praying. Often I've heard and I've experienced a difficulty in praying for missionaries. I've, of course, been a missionary kid all my life. I know a lot of the struggles and the challenges and the needs of missionaries, but even I still struggle sometimes knowing how to pray for a missionary, what to pray. It's easy just to say, "Lord, bless the missionary," and that's it. Because we don't know what to pray. Because we may not get the prayer letter all the time of a missionary. We may not have a prayer card. We may just know a name. You know, God loves to answer specific prayers. He wants us to be very specific so that we can know that we have answered prayers. So there in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 25, it says, "Brethren, pray for us." And Paul is writing to this church in Thessalonica that we looked at this morning, and he's asking his people to pray for him. And us as missionaries, we're asking you to pray for us. There's several specific prayer requests I want to give to you. They're specific, not necessarily about the ministry in Cameroon, but a specific prayer request you can be praying for any of your missionaries, and even be praying for pastors around the country, these prayer requests. So go to Acts 4, verse 29. So back few books, back to Acts chapter 4, verse 29. This verse takes place right after the apostles, they saw 5,000 people get saved there in Jerusalem. And they're facing some persecution with the religious leaders. Some of them had gotten imprisoned and they've been released, and now they went back to report to the other disciples, other believers, about the persecution. And there in verse 29, they begin to pray. Their response to persecution was prayer. And verse 29 says this, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." So instead of asking, Lord, for protection, Lord, please protect us from these people that are trying to hurt us. What they say, Lord, please give us boldness to keep preaching your word. And we saw this morning, these disciples, everywhere they went, when they were persecuted, everywhere they went, they preached the word. And they asked the Lord, "Lord, please keep giving us, please give us boldness so that no matter what, we will keep preaching the gospel, keep preaching the word of God." So that's the prayer request. You can write down there for every missionary that God will give them boldness to speak the gospel, to preach the word of God. You know, sometimes it may be that you think it's hard to preach the gospel in America. And if I were just to go on the mission field, it would be so much easier. They're just waiting to hear the gospel, and it would be so much easier to witness over there. In some cases, that is very true. People are, some countries very much open, more open to the gospel than they are here in America. But honestly, in some places, it's much more difficult to preach the gospel than it is here in America. And we need boldness. We need God to give us boldness. So please pray for us that God would give us boldness to preach the word of God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 4. It's a second prayer request that you can be praying for missionaries. Colossians chapter 4. Bookmark it. It could take me a little bit to find it too. There it is. Okay, got it. Colossians chapter 4. Look at there, verse number 2. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bonds." So Paul's writing to the church there in Colossae. He's asking them to specifically pray for open doors to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. And that's, we need you to pray for us as well, that God would give us open doors. Place people that are waiting to hear the gospel, people that are open, so that we can speak the word of God to these people. So we need open doors for the gospel. The next prayer request is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So the next book over, two books over, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1 and verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." So there, pray that the word of God would have free course. It's literally saying that the word of God would run. The word of God would spread rapidly. You notice this is back in 2 Thessalonians. And we saw this morning how the word of God spread very rapidly there in that region of Thessalonica. We saw how Paul had come through and preached for about 3 weeks there. And when he left, these new believers, this new church, took Paul's example and preached this message of salvation to their entire region and neighboring region, and they spread it very rapidly. So Paul is saying, he's writing back to this church and saying, pray that the word of God would spread rapidly just the same way it did with you. So that's a prayer request. You can be praying for missionaries in Cameroon, in whatever country, that the word of God would literally run, would spread quickly, because that's the only way the Great Commission is going to be completed. The only way the Great Commission is going to be completed is if the gospel spreads quickly in that multiplication. The next verse, verse number 2, is the next prayer request is, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." That's protection. It is dangerous to be a missionary in many places. Thankfully, in Cameroon, at this point, is It's not too dangerous. Some places are in Cameroon, but where we are, it's pretty safe. But there are missionaries, I'm sure you know them, who are in places that are very dangerous. And you need to pray for their safety. And that God would give them protection, because it says all men have not faith. There are unreasonable, there are wicked men out there who would do harm to God's people. So these prayer requests here, number one is boldness. Second prayer request is a door of utterance, an open door for the gospel. The third prayer request is that the gospel would run, or the gospel would spread quickly. And the fourth prayer request there is for safety. And really, perhaps the most important one is for that boldness. Because if we are not bold in preaching the gospel will not spread rapidly. We will not be finding open doors. And we'll probably come home. And so there really is need to pray for safety, because we'll be home. So really, please pray for boldness, that we will not give up preaching the gospel, that no matter the difficulty, no matter what is done to us, no matter what, that we continue preaching the gospel. And if we stop doing that, there's no reason for us to stay there. So please be praying for that very much, because we need that. Every missionary out there needs that. And God answers your prayer. We all know the stories of David Livingstone, missionary and great explorer and missionary in southern Africa. There was one day that he was on an expedition. He was traveling through some remote regions, and he heard that this neighboring tribe and village was antagonistic, and they were planning to kill him and his party. So he was traveling through this area, and they settled down. They set up camp for the night, and honestly, David Livingstone wasn't expecting to live through the night. And he was very afraid. He was nervous, and he opened his Word of God. I can't remember what verse he opened to, but as he opened, he was reading these verses and praying, and God gave him complete peace. He went to bed, slept the entire night, woke up. There was no harm done to them. They went on their journey. A while later, he met with this chief of this village that had been antagonistic. This chief and his entire village had come to Christ. And he was meeting with this chief, and he asked him, "You remember that day I was traveling through your village, and you were going to come attack us?" And the chief, "Yeah." "So why didn't you attack us?" He said, "Well, we tried. We came and we surrounded your camp, but then we saw 40 warriors surrounding you. And so we could not touch you. We couldn't harm you." David Livingstone, like, "What in the world? Like, I didn't have 40 warriors with me." He couldn't figure it out, but he was thankful for God's protection. Anyway, a few years later, he was back in Scotland, in his home country. He was reporting to one of his supporting churches. He goes in and he tells a story to them. And after the service, a man walks up to him and opens up his journal and says, "Is this the date? Is this the date?" He shows him on his journal this date. And David Livingstone says, "Yeah, that's the same day that story happened." And he says, "Look at this. That day, God burdened me to pray for you. And so we gathered, 40 men gathered that day to pray for you. We prayed for your safety." As the same day that those 40 men had been surrounding, those 40 warriors had been surrounding him in southern Africa. Now, God answers prayer. You can pray here in America, and God answers it in Africa. I told you this morning, we have a little satellite messenger. When I was back in 2015, I was sending out messages every day, prayer requests to people back here in America to pray for us. The first week there in the church planting, there were several ladies that had gotten saved, but their men were pretty resistant. And they were all trusting in their good works and saying, "No, that's all they needed." I sent out a prayer request asking that people would pray that men would get saved. The next day, men started getting saved, because people here in America were praying, and God answered. The next week, we walked into the second village. I told you some stories about that. That village was antagonistic to us. We were pretty discouraged about it. Sent out a prayer request. The next day, God began to work. And at the end of that week, there was a church planted there. We walked in. Nobody wanted us there. We left. Nobody wanted us to leave. That was God answering prayer. God answers the prayer of people here in America praying for missionaries. And he loves to answer the prayer of his people. There's a prayer in Romans chapter 10. Some of us may know this verse, Romans 10, starting in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a prayer request that we've all, many of us have made a prayer, and it's not necessarily a prayer, it's a faith in Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's, we all need salvation, don't we? We all have that problem of sin. We talked about that this morning. So that man, in the man who was possessed with demons that we talked about this morning, who had no hope of salvation, who had no hope, but then Jesus came, and Jesus cast out those demons in this man's life. In the same way, we have a problem of sin. And it's only through Jesus Christ, and we must call upon him, and he will hear that prayer. He loves to answer prayer, and he loves it when people come to him seeking salvation. So those four prayer requests, what are they? Number one is boldness. Number two is open doors. Number three is gospel would spread rapidly. Number four, safety. Those are four specific prayer requests you can be praying for missionaries around the world. Let's pray. Then, Pastor, you can come close. Lord, we thank you for this evening, for this message from your word. Lord, I ask that you'd help me to be praying for missionaries more and more, and I do ask that you would answer. We thank you that you do answer, that you love to answer our prayer. If there's any here tonight that do not have that salvation that we are preaching there in Cameroon, would you bring them to saving knowledge of you? In your name we pray. Amen.